In the next few weeks, a number of Palestine Action hunger strikers may die in British prisons, but the British government and the bulk of the British media appears entirely indifferent to their fate. In fact, recently when David Lammy was confronted by family members of hunger strikers, he actually claimed that he didn't even know what they were talking about. He seemed to be entirely unaware of the case.
Waiting for a response. My brother is on now day 25.
MPs even laughed when the plight of the hunger strikers was brought up in Parliament.
To help the situation, would the minister be able to meet their legal representatives and families if necessary in order to discuss this situation and try and move forward to help the safety of these particular prisoners?
Minister.
No. Luckily...
The hunger strikes began at the beginning of November, and a number of the hunger strikers are now in a dangerous condition. A number of them have been taken to hospital. It's important to note that none of these people have been convicted of any crime. They are also not accused of any crimes of violence against people. They were arrested before Palestine Action was prescribed as a terrorist organisation. Nevertheless, they appear to be being treated as terrorists. They were arrested by counter-terror police, some of them at gunpoint. Their communications with the outside world have been restricted, and they say that prison guards frequently abuse them and refer to them as terrorists. Now, let's get clear what these people are actually in prison accused of. Half of them are accused of taking part in the operation at the Elbit Systems Research and Development Centre at Elbit in Bristol. Elbit is Israel's largest arms manufacturer. Elbit makes the weapons that kill Palestinian children. It also makes enormous profits marketing its weapon systems around the world as being battle-tested, that is, as having been used against Palestinian civilians in the Gaza Strip and in the West Bank. It makes millions and millions of pounds from this, selling, among others, to the British government. The other half of the hunger strikers were involved in the operation where they sprayed paint on RAF planes at RAF Brize-Norton. Brize-Norton is the base in Britain which supplies RAF Akrotiri in Cyprus. RAF Akrotiri is the hub for Western complicity in the genocide in Gaza. Huge quantities of American munitions have flowed through RAF Akrotiri on their way to Israel for use against the population of Gaza. And the British have been running daily surveillance flights out of RAF Akrotiri over Gaza. They have accumulated thousands of hours of footage, which they admit is passed over to the Israelis, but they claim it's used only for hostage rescue, which is an explanation which is frankly an insult to the intelligence of the British people. The hunger strikers have five demands. They want the restrictions on and the surveillance of their correspondence to be removed. They want to be released on bail. They want swift and fair trials. They want Palestine Action to be unbanned. And they want Elbit's factories in Britain to be closed. It's quite extraordinary that in the midst of genocide, Israel's largest arms manufacturer continues to operate factories in Great Britain. At present, it appears that the British government is prepared to let them die rather than agree to these demands. Now, what's disturbing here is that there is a pattern emerging. On April the 1st, 2024, three British ex-servicemen who were working as security personnel for the World Central Kitchen distributing food in Gaza, those three men were killed by the Israelis. Now, it's since emerged that a British surveillance plane was in the air above Gaza at the time those men were killed. The families of those men have begged the British government to release footage from that plane to investigators.
The reason for not supplying that footage from the Ministry of Defence is a bit of an insult.
The British government is refusing to do this. We also have the case of the West Midlands police attempting to ban the fans of Maccabi Tel Aviv, the Israeli football team, from a match at Aston Villa. They did this on the advice of police from Holland, who had experience of the Maccabi Tel Aviv fans. The government intervened in this case, apparently absolutely determined to inflict upon the people of Birmingham the notoriously violent racist fans of Maccabi Tel Aviv, many of whom are reservists in Israel's genocidal army. Now we have this case, the eight hunger strikers. It raises a very profound question. Which has a higher priority
for Keir Starmer
and for the British government? The safety and indeed the lives of its own citizens or the interests of the State of Israel? At the same time, it's worth bearing in mind that in the judicial review of the banning of Palestine Action as a terrorist organisation, at the last moment, the government switched out the judge who had been overseeing the case all the way along and replaced him with three other judges who some suggest are likely to be more sympathetic to the government's position. And it did this with no explanation as to why it was doing it at all. So far, the hunger strikers have received almost no coverage in British media. In fact, the BBC seems to be preoccupied with introducing a new anti-Semitism training course. I've been handed screenshots of some of this anti-Semitism training course, and they reveal that the BBC has decided it's unacceptable for its employees to criticise the ideology of Zionism. This, of course, in the same week that Rachel Reeves, the Chancellor, appeared at a Labour Friends of Israel conference and declared herself an unapologetic Zionist and said that she will always be a friend of Israel. She'll always be friends of a country where the security minister, Itamar Ben-Gvir, was pictured in public wearing a noose, an emblem of his campaign to introduce the death penalty for Palestinian prisoners. It really is remarkable how tin-eared the present Labour government is. It really doesn't seem to grasp how out of step it is with the broader British population on the issue of Palestine, on the issue of Gaza. It appears that they continue to regard Gaza and Palestine as a preoccupation of the activist left, which it isn't anymore. Whatever you think of Palestine Action and their activities, there do seem to be basic points of law and fairness and justice here. Either put them on trial or release them on bail. To hold them on remand for 18 months when they have not committed any crimes of violence against people seems gratuitous, and it feels like extrajudicial punishment in itself. One person stands accused of assault in connection with the operation against the Elbit factory in Filton. That person is not among the eight hunger strikers. It's important to remember as well, the genocide in Gaza is not over. The Israelis have killed close to 400 Palestinians since the ceasefire was agreed. Now imagine how that would be being reported if it was the other way round. No one would be suggesting that the ceasefire was holding or the ceasefire was being tested. The Israelis continue to massively restrict the aid they can get in, and they're not allowing any mobile homes or tents to get in. They're simply leaving the Palestinian people to sort of fester in the misery of a Gazan winter. So this Christmas, think about the hunger strikers in Britain's prisons. Kessa Zura, Amu Gibb, Heba Muraisi, John Kink, Tuta Hodja, Kamlan Ahmed, Louis Chiaramello and Mohamed Umer Khalid. And think about the families of the hunger strikers who live every day in an agony of anxiety, waiting for a phone call telling them that there's been a serious deterioration in their loved one's health or even worse. This is a textbook case of an enormously important story which is being largely ignored by British media. The situation is now urgent. There are lives at stake. Please, please share this video as widely as possible, and please subscribe to Double Down News through Patreon.